Pastor Bomi Kim, and welcome to the church and all who are worshiping with us through online. How is your soul today?
Healthy.
Oh, healthy soul. That's good. How's your soul today?
Good.
I'm just so shocked and happy because I saw one of my mentors is here visiting me without saying to me. He was the one who brought me to the United States, and then he gave me a dream. You can be a good United Methodist Church pastor. And then today's my first sermon, and he just showed up today. So I was like, what? I feel embarrassed, and I feel so honored. I feel so excited to share news today.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming. That's awesome.
He's a professor from Methodist Theological University in Korea. Yes. So today, before I start my sermon, I'm going to read a poem and just listen carefully and maybe it resonates with your soul. I carried a lot of baggage in here this morning. My left shoulder aches from the weight of recent salary cut. My right torn burns from the burden of my mortgage. In my mouth, I carry the bitter taste of a parent-teacher conference. On my sleeve, I wear the grief of a broken relationship. In my heart, I cradle the heart of a broken world. In my head, I swimming in search for meaning. Curtis Mayfield said, I don't need to baggage. Just get on board. But the trains ain't coming, and I am just too weighed down to jump on. Relieve me. Relieve me with stories of the mercy of God. Relieve me with tales of love of Jesus Christ. Relieve me with the old family story, that good news. But whatever you do, don't let me leave my baggage on the platform. Are you guys okay? Can you hear me? Now I think you can hear me, right? I'm so sorry. I think people watching online gonna be shocked. I think I touched it. Okay. So I'm gonna read this part again. All that hurts and burns and grieves and searches, that's mine too. Just give me a hand so I can thank the Lord. This is the poem. Let us look at a short video clip. Yes, it's cute, right? It's cute and fun. And what else? What else do you think about this video?
Sad.
It's sad. Oh, okay. Yes. When I look at this sheep, I had a question in my mind. How is my soul? It might look like a sheep that lost his or her shepherd. How about your soul today? I'm the Good Shepherd. That's today's sermon title. My first thought, when I think about Good Shepherd, it reminds of me, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not fear. Are you familiar with this scripture, right? And then, second thought came to me, However, even I have shepherd, I feel fear. Right? Am I the only one who still feel fear? Yes. My prayer for you today is God is speaking to you through this old mundane story to refresh your soul and renew our wounded heart and soul so that we can be equipped and nurtured. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a story. Summer 2015, I was in a chaplain internship hospital, Methodist Hospital in Arcadia. So I was chaplain. And at that moment, I was afraid to speak in English because I just came to States like 1 year ago, and then I started my chaplaincy. So I was afraid, what if they cannot understand me? You know, but I need to be there because that's part of my program. So I need to be a chaplain. And I was knocking the door with like nervousness. Knock, knock, knock. And there was an old white man and with his wife. And they seemed like not interested in me at all. So I just, I'm Bomi Kim and I'm new chaplain. And is there anything that I can help? And they said, And they said, I just automatically said, oh, it must be really tough. And is there anything that I can help you? And the old white man, he said to me, can you read scripture for me? Okay, but I was not ready. I brought Bible with me, but I was not ready. I didn't pick any scripture for them. And then what I did is I just opened the Bible and then, what should I do? What should I do? And then I opened Psalm 23. Which is really familiar scripture for maybe possibly all of us, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all day of my life. And I will dwell in the house of Lord forever. When I read the scripture to the patient, it moved me. And I could tell it moved the patients too. Even they were not interested in me, after me reading the scripture, something touched him. And we felt presence of God. And God was welcoming us at that moment. I cried and they cried. And we said amen together. It's mundane scripture, but sometimes when we read it again, it touches our soul. And they were very angry at God because they've been really faithful. They were good Christian and bad things happened to them. And they didn't know why bad things do happen to me. So they were really angry. And they didn't know that whether he's going to be recovered or not. It's like uncertainty, right? But when I read the scripture, somehow, even they cannot see the future yet, they felt comfort and they feel the presence of God. Today's scripture comes from John chapter 10. In the Bible, the relationship with God and Jesus and human beings has been often described as shepherd and the sheep. We are familiar with that. Isaiah chapter 40, it said, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Aren't you curious why the Bible describe our relationship with good shepherd and sheep metaphor? Do you have an idea why? Let's think about the characteristics of sheep. Number one. There are no defensive function for them, right? Sheep, and they do not run fast.
okay? Even there are some sheep have horns, right? But it is only for fighting with other sheep, like us, not defend themselves, you know, fighting with each other. And they are bad at directions, like me. I'm really bad at directions. Even I cannot find the personage, you know, so I ask my husband. And they are having bad eyesight, which allows them to see close things in front of them, like grass. So it makes hard for them and more difficult for them to find their way back if they are lost. The worst thing is they are pretty stubborn. They go wherever they want. It is also much like us, right? Isn't it? Yeah, quote by my husband. My husband said, I'm stubborn. So it might be the reason Bible uses sheep so many times. Without shepherd's guidance, sheep could not go further safely. Good shepherd. What image do you have about good shepherd? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What else? What kind of image do you have about shepherd? When you just think about good shepherd.
Leader.
Oh, leader. Okay. When I just think about good shepherd, I just imagine green pasture, like National Geography, right? Possibly the country might be New Zealand. That's what I imagined. And you know what? But we need to remember the background of the scripture. It was not written in green pasture. Not there. Middle East desert. Very dried land without water or grass. Very chilly at night and super hot in the daytime. In the barren desert. I will ask you two questions right now so you can answer. What do you want to pick from one of two options? Number one option, you have everything like New Zealand, green pastures with still water, but you never seen the darkest valley, okay? However, you don't have shepherd, okay? Number two option, option two, your environment is surrounded by dark valley and very dangerous and no green pasture, but you have the shepherd who will guide you.
Is it a trick question?
Number two.
Is it a trick question?
Yeah, we can be tempted number one, but number two, we know number two is a good option, right?
I take number one because I am the shepherd.
Okay. Yeah. So the reason why I'm telling you this, sheep, so what is your decision? So number two, sheep in New Zealand green pasture, the most dangerous thing for them is scary thing for them. Can you guess what? Encountering to a shepherd. Do you know why? Because they will die on that day. Isn't it kind of interesting, right? But on the other side, believing God is not guaranteed green pastures all the time. But there is a guarantee. God is going to be with you all the time. So that's the point. Like where you are going to be is not matter, but who you are going to be matter. That's why we gather together and, you know, believe in God, right? Verse 12 says, so when he sees wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. 13, the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Let's pause here. When I read verse 12 to 13, I could not fully judge the hired man, hired hand, because this man has lots of similarity of my selfishness and ugly characteristics, which are hidden in deepest side of my heart. Am I only one in this room? When bad things happen, we just want to, okay, I'm done with this, and I'm going to run away instead of taking care of that shit, right? Are we good shepherd to this community? To the earth? Are we the hired hand who might leave when we encounter a crisis? This question kept bugging me during this week. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as Father knows me, and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd knows us, and the sheep knows whose they are. The good shepherd is inviting us to have an intimate relationship, like a father and a son, in an interrelational relationship, loving and caring. God knows you, and you know God. And God invites us to know God as well as God knows us, so that we have peace and not fear about something, because the good shepherd is with us. How about Belmont Heights United Methodist Church? Are we in green pasture? What do you think? Pretty much? Because we are in good location, good neighborhood. But we also know in our community, many people are encountering lots of difficulties in their families and in community. But we proclaim that God, Jesus, is our good shepherd. As we went through darkest valley. And we pray and we cry over and over. And we experience God's presence throughout the darkest valley experience, right? I'm grateful for our community because we have many faithful people. I heard that we went through like difficult situation long time ago, right? But you guys are still here. I'm grateful for that you went through darkest valley one time, but you still have a heart for Belmont Heights, and you are here to worship God. And I believe that we can start something good from here, even we have a handful of people. You know, good thing about Good Shepherd is Good Shepherd recognizes when he or she lost her sheep, right? Recognize it as soon as possible and trying to find it again. If you feel lost today because of your circumstances, please remember God is recognizing it like right away and trying to invite you again to the green pasture. What we need to do is we need to listen to the call of our good shepherd. One of my friends, I wrote a lot, but I'm going to make it shorter because my mom said shorter sermon is better than longer one. So I'm going to make it shorter. I quote a lot of things, but I'm going to make it very shorter. And one thing that I was thinking throughout this week, one of my friends who went to same school, she called me, and she'd been serving church as a local pastor, like senior pastor, for 6 years. And she called me like 2 days ago and she said, "Hey, Bomi, can you tell me, is there a hope in church?" She's been working so hard and she invested her time and energy, but her church is still small and it's really hard to find volunteers. And people are, you know, getting old and like she cannot see the hope. And she said, "I cannot see myself in 10 years in church. I don't know, maybe I need to find another job." So she was saying that she's desperate. She is not sure that God is calling her as a minister. And you know what? Honestly speaking, I cannot be free from this question. Because as we all know, churches are dying, right? Whether we want to accept it or not, church is declining. Young people are leaving church. And we don't know where we are going. And I came here to be a United Methodist Church pastor. And now church is trying to split. And I don't know, like that was my long time like dream. And now it's going to be the end. I don't know like what's going to be. And I feel desperate too. But I pray to God and I just read this scripture again and again. And I just remember, I grew up in church. And I just saw my son, June, right? I just want him to experience good church experience. Even he was born 2021, but later, 20 years later, I wish he can be in the church and he experienced love of God within the community. That's my prayer and that's my dream for Bellman Heights. So I'm still like doubting, how can we survive in 21st century? We are having small number of people and no newcomers coming, and what can we do? And our cultures are changing. Maybe if you are saying Jesus Christ, your Lord, maybe you are going to be like, people gonna see you like, that person is too conservative or too much, right? But as we experience God's grace in our life, there is still hope. And I truly believe that still we have hope when we have close relationship with God, intimacy with God, keep praying, trying to read Bible, and trying to share good news to this community, then maybe God will bring people again in this community. That's my hope and that's my desire for Bellman Heights. And please pray for me, because I don't want to be a hired man, hired hand, as we read scripture. When crisis came to this community, I don't want to run away and just, I'm done with this church and somebody will take care of. I don't want to be like that kind of person. Just pray for me to be a good shepherd. And I'm inviting you to be good shepherd to this community. It takes cost. Jesus Christ died because he loves us so much, right? Love requires energy and time and sacrificial things, right? It requires us cost. And that's our responsibility. But God is not leaving us alone, and God is still providing us grace. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. That grace is going to keep coming to us and inviting us to grow in faith. And as we make decision, hey, we are going to do it together, then we'll grow together. So that's my message for you today. And when I observed my 14-month-old son, I saw it's kind of human nature. So he's a mommy boy, and he always like, hug me, mommy. But recently, Brian started feeding him breakfast.
Uh-oh.
So in the morning, he always cling to me. But two days ago, I realized it. Hey, June, come to mommy, because I woke up early, and then come to mommy. And he say no, because it's breakfast time, and he's going to go with daddy. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's human nature. It's so easy when you cannot get benefit from church, or when you cannot get good things from here. Maybe you just want to turn away. Oh, bye. I'm done with this, right? But good shepherd just stays and take care of the sheep. And that's what God is calling us to be. And that's my prayer for Bellman Heights. Amen? Amen.
This song that I've chosen this morning, I just want you to just read the words and put it into your heart. And just after that sermon, the message the pastor shared with